Hi, I'm Jennifer Osborne. This is the Conversations of Hope podcast, stories of hope as told by those who live them.
God kind of surprised you.
Yes.
In the midst of a really tragic turn of events, but a lot of good came out of it and a lot of redemption. So go ahead and... I don't mean to steal your thunder on that, but I just...
You're right. It's what I was saying before is his plans are so much bigger than ours, right? And so June of last year, 2017, my dad found out that he had stage 4 cancer. And so he wanted to send the text message out. We knew he had a doctor's appointment. So anyway, he went to the doctor in June and found out he had stage 4 cancer and sent a text message out to all 7 of us at the same time. I had called him and said, I know you had your doctor's appointment today. How did it go? And he said, I'll be messaging you soon. So in his text message, it basically just told all of us that he didn't have long to live, that it was going to go quick, and that he had a wonderful life and wonderful wife and 7 beautiful children. And that we all just needed to make peace with it. We were going to have meetings over the next couple of weeks to figure out where he was going to be buried. I mean, this literally went from like, hey, let's have a cookout, to talking about where he's going to be buried and who's going to do the readings at his funeral. And I mean, it was just...
We had these very blunt discussions with him over these things.
Yes. And he was a planner. He was a planner. So he was going to figure it all out. Well... He thought he was going to figure it all out, but he went a lot faster, I think, than he even thought. So I think he thought he had until like Christmas, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and it was not even 5 weeks. July 31st of 2017 is when he passed away. So it went very, very quickly. So July 30th, the night of July 30th, he had a stroke in the middle of the night. He had been in ICU for a few days. We weren't really sure. He was going up and down, and we weren't really sure exactly what was happening with him. We were like, is he having like a last burst of energy? Because he stood up on Saturday. And then that night he had a stroke. And early the next morning, and we were pretty much going there almost every day because we knew it was, we didn't know, but we felt like it was getting close to the end, but we were just not letting go of hope. And so then we were there on Saturday, and he stood up, and we have a picture of myself on one side of him and my sister on the other side of him. And he was standing, you know, in the hospital room. And then that night he had a stroke. And early in the morning, my brother had come back from Afghanistan during all of this too, because they knew they had sent him home early. So he was here. So all 7 of his kids were here now. And so we're at the hospital, and we were all trying to go to the hospital. And my oldest sister has a 7-year-old daughter, and her daughter had special needs. And she called and said, you know, something's going on with Serena. We're not really sure what's going on, but her oxygen levels are low. We're just going to run her over to Children's and get her checked out, and we'll come over to the hospital, which they were 5 minutes from each other. So she was going to be right there. So she calls, and you know, an hour later. And in the meantime, we're all getting to the hospital and finding out that Dad had had a stroke the night before, and he was no longer talking. And it was getting like, it was getting worse. Like, he was shaking his head. He was moving his hands, and slowly, like, things were just, he wasn't doing all those things as much anymore.
So he was declining
very quickly. My sister took her daughter to Children's and called and said, we don't really know what's going on, but Serena's on the highest level of everything that they can put her on every machine, and nothing is getting better. And we were like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Like, she's been in the hospital a lot because she was special needs, and just didn't make any sense. Like, we couldn't even wrap our minds around what was going on with Dad, and then now this was happening with Serena. And so, So so the day kind of goes on. We're all at the hospital with Dad, and at a certain point, I don't even remember when, we got a call just saying they've lifted the amount of visitors that Serena's allowed to have. We know that she's not going to make it through the day. Wow. And because the entire family was right next door with Dad, we were all able to go and say goodbye to her. And that would never have happened because of where everyone lives and our lives are just so busy. If we weren't that close all together, we would not have all been able to go and say goodbye to her. So we all took turns, including my mom. And, of course, my dad had had a stroke, and so he was out. And so he didn't know what was going on, and we were keeping it from him. We wanted our sister to be able to tell him what was going on. We didn't want to do that, and my mom didn't want to do it. So he was very close to Serena. And we all went and said goodbye to her. And then she passed away at 10:45 that night. And then, you know, the very next morning, we had to rush my dad to hospice the next morning because we knew things were declining with him. And my sister and brother-in-law were able to come into hospice. And those last couple of days when my dad was in the hospital, all of us would go to visit him, and he took time with every single one of his children, their spouses, if there are spouses, all of the grandchildren. There's 24 grandchildren. And he was able to talk to every single one of us, individually, together, and just told all of us how much he loved us. I mean, he told me how much he loved me, how proud he was of me for the things that I've done. Telling me what a great mother I am to my kids, what a great wife I am. My husband and I have been together for 23 years, married 23 years, and how proud he is of us for going through the hard times we've gone through, that people would, you know, there are people in the world that would just give up on some of the things we've been through, and how proud he is of us. You know, we didn't even know that he knew what was going on with difficulties in our lives. Talked to every one of our children. I have 5 children. He talked to every single one of my children and told them, gave them advice about life, and told them how much I loved them. You know, I have a daughter that I have an open adoption with, and he talked to her and told her, you know, that it was how difficult it was as a father to watch your daughter make the best decision that she could for her child that she loved so much. And I never even knew my dad thought that, you know, just amazing things that he said, and just in loving and just redeeming all of those things that I really had given up on. Like, yeah. I didn't need those things anymore, and I got them anyway.
And then this beautiful gift.
Yes. It was such a beautiful gift. I don't even think I realize it yet, how beautiful of a gift it is, as beautiful as it is. Because it's almost like beyond my wildest dreams, you know, he just made it all right. And we laughed together. We all cried together. And we were all with him. We were surrounding him when he passed away. All of us were there. He had had a stroke on the left side. And so I was on his left side, and I was just like singing to him and talking to him and praying with him, because he was getting to a point where you could tell he was going to pass away. So a lot of the family members were kind of staying away, and I just wanted to touch him and I wanted to sing to him. So I was singing, and I started singing Good, Good Father. And I like played the song on my phone, and I just kind of had it on the top of his bed, and I was singing it to him. And a couple of my siblings knew that song, so they started singing it. And then they called everybody into the room, all of the kids into the room. I guess someone saw something that they knew. This was his last moments. I missed it. I just looked up, and all of my brothers and sisters were there, and my mom, and I'm like, what in the world's going on? And my sister told my dad, you know, Dad, Serena's waiting for you. You need to go so you guys can walk into heaven together. It's time to go. And my brother-in-law said, you know, Kenny, it's, you know, Serena's waiting for you. Like, I think my dad was waiting for them to give permission to go. Like, just that he needed to hear from them, I think. And he opened his eyes and he opened his mouth and he said something, which we don't know what he said, but he tried to say something. And he looked at my sister and brother-in-law, and then he just closed his eyes and took his last breath. But we were all there. It was, I mean, it's hard, it's sad to have lost both of them. So, I mean, it was exactly 18 hours apart to the minute.
Wow.
So she was on July 30th and he was July 31st. And it was just a beautiful, it's beautiful to know that they're together, because my sister loves her daughter so much. I mean, we all love our kids so much, but they had tried for so long to have kids and they adopted her. And then she ended up actually having a child at 43 out of nowhere. She was not expecting it, but she does have a little girl. It's the sweetest little girl in the world. So my sister, just her entire life was Serena and everything about Serena. And so she was very close to my dad, and my dad spent a lot of time, you know, with her too. And so we always knew, like, at some point, someday, Serena's going to go, and what's going to happen to my sister? You know, I was so worried about that. And just knowing that they left together, you know, and that my sister can have that as much as you can, I guess, have some peace knowing that they're together. And that dad's with her, you know, they're together and they're, and she's not in a wheelchair anymore and she's running and she's, you know, playing and just, you know, living the way that God designed her, and is beautiful.
It sounded like too, all of the anger just leached out of him, because you'd also said to me in a previous time when we talked that you were there in the hospital room with him one night and he was holding the hand of an orderly.
Mm-hmm.
To talk to him,
yes.
To show caring and, you know, concern for this man he did not know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was, I think, 2 days before he passed away, and he was holding the man's hand, and I was, like, kind of sleeping in the corner, and I was watching him. It was, like, 3 a.m, and my dad was just like, tell me about your life. You know, tell me about what you've done, and was telling him how proud he was of him for becoming a nurse, because he had been in the Army or some, he had been somewhere in the military, and yeah, and he was like building into this man, and all the nurses, he had them all laughing, and I mean, everybody there just adored my dad. Our whole family were all crazy. Seven of us with all 24 of the grandkids, I'm sure it was a lot, but they were so good to us in that hospital, and just really enjoyed, I think, just kind of watching the whole, I'm sure it was a spectacle, but yeah.
Well, and they probably didn't realize the miracle that they were seeing. I mean, for mm-hmm. your dad, who the entirety of your life had been angry, mm-hmm. who terrified you at times,
mm-hmm.
who you had given up on having, like, a loving relationship with to a degree,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. then it changed, and you got that.
Yes.
Like,
amazing.
It, yeah, I mean, the redemption of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
it just blows my mind. And what's so interesting, too, that I just love about your story is that God showed himself as your father first.
Yes.
You know, you met him, and then he met you, mm-hmm. and he parented you, and then he gives you this gift, and seeing, like, reconciliation, if you will, at that level with your earthly dad. How cool that was, and how you got to sing your dad into heaven with yes. Good, Good Father. Like, it just blows my mind how good that was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what amazes me too, and God does this all the time with me, and I don't know why it surprises me, but it just sneaks up on me, but he, when he orchestrates things, is so much better than if we tried to have planned it on our own.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to devise a way to do this, and God says, you think you're good. Let me just show you what I can do. And then
we're amazed every time.
Like, right.
How did that happen?
That's
and then
so
he just
cool.
does it again the very next
right.
day.
It's perfect. Yeah.
And on top of that, he's doing it like in 25,000 places at one time.
Right. Yeah. Because he's so cool like that. You know, I was talking to somebody a couple days ago, and they were saying how just in God as Father, understanding that we are his favorites, like each of us really are his favorites, mm-hmm. how he can have every one of us as a favorite in our mind. You know, you have one favorite and then you have the others, but God is so much bigger than we are, mm-hmm. that we are all his favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he loves the sound of our voice, and he, you know, desires those moments in relationship with us. And it's so hard to believe, especially when you've come out of a really bad situation with a dad that you didn't quite get that with on earth.
Right.
So when you meet him, when you meet God as Father, he just blows your mind. And I love how he was so gentle with you all the time. Like it was the exact opposite of what you experienced when you were with your dad.
Yeah, I heard on a podcast through Crossroads the other day. I don't remember which one, but anyway. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is so good. And it's so true that if there's any situation going on in your life that is not good, it just means that God isn't finished with it yet. And I thought, that is so true. Like if it's not, it's not over if it's not good. So if you're in something and you're like, this can never get better, that's just not the truth. It just means he's working somewhere in it.
It's
we don't know where. It may be years. It may be minutes. It may be months. But he's working on it, and it will be good. And it can not only just be good, it can be amazing.
Yeah.
It can be way better than good.
More than you ever planned.
Yeah.
The verse in Ephesians, he's able to do more than we ever hoped or imagined.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Oh my gosh. My imagination's pretty big as a writer. So it's like, God, if my imagination's really big and your word promises that you can do more than I can imagine, mm-hmm. that's epic.
Yeah.
Like that's epic. And then I hear like your story, and I've heard other stories, and I go, okay, God, you're right. You're so cool, and he's so amazing. But, well, I'm glad you shared your story with us today. And
thank you. I'm honored to be able to bring any glory to him that I can. And if anyone can hear this story and just know how amazing he is, like that is all I want, is just for more people to say, okay, I can do something like having a father like that. Let me dig into that a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
That
there's hope. There's
absolutely
hope at the end.
Everything.
Yeah. So when you think you've come out of a hopeless situation, that life cannot change, it absolutely can. Mm-hmm. And it's surprisingly like, wow, God, that's awesome.
Yes. So,
well, thank you again.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed talking to you. High five. All right.
You've been listening to the Conversations of Hope podcast. Stories of hope as told by those who live them. Music by Lauren Dusky. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2022 by Parable Road.